As the world changes, so does leadership. Hello, I'm Carlos Martin, host of Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television. On Leadership Evolving, we bring you real talk about mindset, resilience, culture, influence, and purpose. Every episode features thought leaders, innovators, and everyday visionaries sharing insights, experience, and strategies you can use. Let's explore how your voice can help others evolve their leadership. Watch Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television and step into the leader you are becoming. And today, we explore what it takes to lead with purpose and impact. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow.
All right. Welcome to Leadership Evolving. My name is Carlos Martin, and today my guest is Nicole Anderson. I'm super excited to have her. She's a CEO of Men HR Solutions, nationally recognized business leader, media personality, author of HR is Sexy. I love the name. And she has a new book called Shape of What Survived. Host of The Underdog to Unstoppable, entrepreneur and gym owner. Wow, you got a lot of stuff going on. Can't wait. Nicole has built an incredible career centered around leadership, business, culture, and impact. And today we're diving into her journey, her mission, and everything else she is building. Nicole, welcome.
Thank you, Carlos. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me on Evolving, our Leadership Evolving. I'm really honored.
Yeah, of course. Okay, we were chatting on the phone yesterday, and I was like, wow, she has a lot of stuff going on. You have a HR company, you have multiple gyms, you have a book that came out, it is coming out, you have a previous book, you have a sex trafficking nonprofit organization. I was like, A, I don't know where she finds the time, and B, she's my favorite person. Tell us a little bit of what you have been building and are building a little bit more so the audience can know everything that you do.
So first off, I want to say that I remember when I was a little kid, I used to go to the store and I used to buy all these little receipts and invoices stuff that they used to have in the store that you could write things down and give people invoices and all this kind of stuff. And I should have known then, like, I wasn't your normal kid that was like wanting candy in the store. Me, I wanted invoices. Like, I wanted to write invoices. And I used to give them to my mom. I used to give them to my dad, people on the street. And I'd be like, hey, you owe me this. And so I was probably an entrepreneur from a young age. Just didn't know what that was then. But about 10 years ago, I decided to jump out of the corporate world. I was tired of that grind and grinding for everybody else and making money for everybody else. So I was like, I'm going to jump into entrepreneurship and I'm going to jump in feet first. And that's exactly what I did. I got laid off from my job and, I applied for 1,000 jobs. I keep them in my Yahoo, all the responses. And even with my credentials and everything that I had built up until that point, like, the doors just weren't opening for me. Mm-hmm. And so I'd already been planning to start an HR consulting business. And I was just wanting a little bit more time to build that because I was a single mother. So I had a young daughter at the time. So I was just like, well, I don't have any other choice. I got to pay the bills. I got to put food on the table. And so I just jumped into the world of entrepreneurship and I have not stopped in 10 years. Went from HR and recruiting to authoring a book, running my own show, Underdog to Unstoppable. And then the anti-sex trafficking nonprofit, and now the owner of gyms. So slowly getting more and more and more added to the plate.
Okay. So since 2017, you've been going at this. I have to say that's pretty incredible as an entrepreneur myself. As an executive coach, having my own business, having my show as well. And I find myself exhausted more often than not. And I have to start building almost like boundaries against, not against, but being okay of saying no to friends or to people or sometimes to myself, to try to find that balance between doing and at the same time strategizing or just resting, because I can't even fathom to do the multiple businesses that you're doing. So how do you deal with the no burnout or exhaustion? How do you do it?
So Shonda Grimes, the writer of Grey's Anatomy, she did a commencement speech, and she said in that, because people ask her all the time, how do you do it? And it's the truth is there's always something that's sacrificed. Mm. Whatever that is, whatever you are working on, something else is being sacrificed. So if I'm in client meetings, the book is sacrificed, right? Like if I'm in 2 weeks, I can't write on my book because my brain just doesn't have the power to do that. I will say about 3 years ago, I had a really bad burnout situation where I was just going, I had done a 157 city speaking tour. Wow. So
157?
157 city speaking tour.
How did I go to 3 cities and speak and I am done? That's insane.
Yeah. And so luckily, I was blessed enough that my business is fully mobile. My HR business, HR and recruiting, is fully mobile. So that's very helpful. I have a great team behind me. I think that in leadership, right, it's learning when to build that team, when not to build the team, who you need on your team. I knew I couldn't have people on my team that were needy, right? I couldn't have needy employees, people who needed micromanaging and somebody all the time. And it's not my leadership style. I like to give people the kind of grace to be able to do what they need to do and get the job done. I think COVID kind of helped that mobile process because my team wanted to go remote because they didn't want to be in the office. So we went remote. I told them we'd try it for 90 days and then we just never went back. My team is great. That helps me a lot. I have very supportive friends. A lot of my friends are entrepreneurs and trying to build their own growth and or their own businesses and stuff. So they understand the grind, they understand the hustle. So if I don't answer a text back in a couple days, it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But there's boundaries, right? I do have boundaries. My daughter comes first, right? Like if I've got to stop everything I do, I've got to stop it in my daughter's care. My partner is next, right? Like that, whatever's needed for that, we've got to stop and move in that direction. I have some really close friends that they called me, I'd be at their house. I'd get on a plane and, fly back if I had to. So I do think that there is a balance and boundaries. But I think it like being able to express that to the people that you love, like, hey, this is where my life is right now. I need you to be understanding of that. And as soon as I can get to you, I will. So.
Wow. I love that. It is something that as an executive coach, I don't think many of us really do a good job of communicating that, where we are busy, we're doing so many things. And I love that your daughter comes first and then your husband, your partner. And I love the fact that you're able to communicate this to, I was going to say your audience, to your family, to your friends. And I noticed that a lot of people do a poor job of that. They have things going on in their life, and for whatever reason, they don't want to communicate that to others. They don't want to bring them down. So I love the fact that you say, hey, I'm tied up, but I'll get back to you, whatever that may look like. And that's something that really important and that I love that you do. You mentioned the needy employees. I want to double click a little bit on that. Tell us more of what that looks like You know, so as an entrepreneur, this is a big deal. Like, how do you have create your empire, but to be able to have the right people around you and possibly maybe not have those needy employees? So what does the needy employees look like? And what are the employees that you currently have look like?
So I've been recruiting for 22 years, right? Like I've been recruiting for companies. I've been recruiting and I have a lot of experience in identifying traits that are positive and traits that are negative. I always joke with my team and I say, you know, I should have gotten a degree in psychology instead of a degree in HR management. I think psychology would have been a much better line of work for human resources. So I've picked up through the years a lot of traits that don't work well within companies, traits that do work well, which is why for our HR business, one of our strongest things is recruiting consulting. So it's not necessarily that we're going to recruit for them, but we're going to consult around recruiting and make the recruiting better and give them better ways to recruit. And it's just building those skills. And I'm able to get stuff out of individuals that I can ask questions and get these, you know, get these traits brought out of them during the interview process. And I can tell basically what kind of employee they're going to be by observing these traits. And so we work through, you know, you could go back to, there are people that we give a chance, even if we see a little bit of those traits in them, we give them a shot. We let them prove themselves. But I'm a figure it out person, right? Like if you give me something, I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to deliver it. I'm going to execute it. It's why our clients love us, because we're not no people. We figure it out. We're going to do that. And I need people on my team that are figure it out. Go look for the answer. And then if you still can't find it, then come to me. But don't ask me every 10 minutes, hey, what is this? What is this? What is this? And what is this? Because yeah. I don't have time and the team doesn't have time for that. It pulls them away from their work. So that's one of the ways that we identify, you know, neediness versus non-neediness. Questions are fine, right? Legitimate questions, especially around legal, like legal's hard. So those are fine. But if you need FMLA requirements, that's an easy search on Google to get your FMLA requirements. And then they have this amazing tool called ChatGPT. They will give you most of the answer.
Yeah.
And then you come form your response and then we can help move forward. So people on my team have to be figured out. I can't assist them all the time in figuring out what the issue is.
Yeah, you're reminding me of my therapist when she says, Carlos, everything is figure outable. And I love that, because some employees are meant to be one task driven. And that's okay, but that might do a lot better with the corporation. But with a organization like yours, like you need someone, and not only you, but I think as entrepreneurs, any entrepreneurs listening to us, like, you know, people like think like us, like, okay, figure it out, not, you know, giving us all the answers. Because if we were to do that for everybody, it's like, okay, what do I need you? Right. So I don't want to micromanage you. And so for me, I remember if I put my leadership hat on for many years ago, I remember if I had to micromanage you, that means I don't need you. I need someone to think outside the box. So thank you for that. So tell us a little bit more. We're going to dive into the sex trafficking later on into one of our segments. We're going to dive a little bit more onto your new book. But tell us a little bit more about some of the businesses that we have. We have about a minute left on our first segment to be able to get a bird's eye view of what you do, because I'm just in awe of everything that you're doing.
So I have the HR and recruiting business, and we do HR and recruiting soup to nuts. So whatever you need done in HR and recruiting, we do it. Whether you need to fire an entire leadership team to the day-to-day HR, and we do full-scale recruiting. We're boutique recruiting, so we customize all of our recruiting structures to whatever client we're working with. The gyms that we have is a boxing gym. Mm. The other one is a strength and conditioning gym that we are moving boxing into. Fitness is huge for me and for my lifestyle. It keeps me sane. And so this was naturally a next step. Most people in my life are very fitness driven. So they, you know, the gyms are just an added perk to their life as well. Mm-hmm. Boxing is really hot right now. My partner is going for a world title fight in
Amazing.
June. Yeah, in June. So professional boxer. So it was natural to have a boxing gym and then a strength and conditioning gym. And we are looking to expand that to other places, other locations in the near future. Mm-hmm. And then the nonprofit, anti-sex trafficking nonprofit that we'll talk a little bit more about later.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. It's like, how do you keep your sanity? Like you said, and I'm glad you're doing that. All right. We'll be right back with Nicole Anderson. We're going to just keep going down the rabbit hole into the world of Nicole. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and transformative leadership conversations. Stay with us. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow. I'm Carlos Martin, right. And this is Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television. Let's continue the journey. And we are back. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to Leadership Evolving. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media app, Roku or iOS, and unlock the nonstop bilingual programming in English and in Espanol. On the move, why not catch the podcast version on Now Media TV, from business to news to lifestyle to culture and way beyond. Now Media is streaming around the clock, ready for whenever you are. Welcome back, Nicole.
Thank you for having me back. I'm glad we made it. I made it to the next part.
Yes. So a lot of stuff going on. We're going to leave the book for our next segment and sex trafficking. I want to go into a little bit. You come from the HR world, leadership world, and that's the world that I also lived in. I currently live. I want to talk a little bit about that. How is leadership showing up currently? I'm going to give you a loaded question. Where is leadership currently? Where should it be, or in the direction it should move to? And how is AI affecting leadership? I know I give you a full loaded question there.
No, I think I think we have to break down where leadership's at, right? We have a lot of generations in the workplace. And each generation leads vastly different. And we've observed, we also have more entrepreneurs in the workplace than ever has been in the history of the United States. Mm. And we have Gen Z, the new younger Gen Alpha, right? I mean, you have 11, 12, and 13 year olds now that are entrepreneurs making millions of dollars, right?
Insane.
So I think leadership looks a lot different, right? Than it did when I was growing up in corporate America, where I was very much taught by leaders that were very structured and very like, you do this, you do what I say, you do what I need you to do, and there's no other option. Like, you don't talk back, right? Like, you don't question why you need to do something.
Yeah.
So I grew up with that leadership. But where I see it evolving with a lot of my entrepreneurs is I see a lot more patience in my entrepreneurs and the leadership that they are trying to become more patient. They are trying to understand that the younger generations want a voice. They do have a lot of options. Right? Like, people have a lot of options they can do. I mean, they can go be an entrepreneur right now. They can be an influencer, right? And so I am seeing that type of leadership. Where I see it going is I do see more of a cohesive workplace where ideas are more ideas are taken more seriously, and entrepreneurs lean a lot on their staff to help grow and scale their organizations based on the experience and the level of expertise that these younger generations have. And it does come from AI, right? AI, I mean, I know a lot of people say, oh, AI is going to make everybody dumber. I don't see that happening. I mean, there may be some people that use it for that purpose and they don't go research their own, right? Mm-hmm. But I think for the most part, it's helping people think about places that they haven't been able to think about before. So they're helping draw ideas that they can take to leaders, because at the end of the day, AI can't execute. At this point right now, it can't execute. It can't execute building a business. It can't execute graphics that somebody else needs to edit and do. It can give ideas. And I know that a lot of people are using AI graphics, but AI graphics have a footprint, right? Or a fingerprint. You can tell AI graphics. So I think that leadership is evolving to a place of patience and a place of where entrepreneurs and leaders are going to be able to use the ideas that their younger generations have in their workplace to be able to scale and grow at exponential rate. I don't see AI hindering at this time, and the fears of what everybody is talking about.
Yeah, you mentioned leadership is evolving, hence the name. Yes. That's why I came up with the, because I see it. I grew up in the same leadership where you grew up. It was kind of like the old Jack Welch, you know, of GE. This is what you have to do. There is no but. If you don't like it, there's a door. It's that easy. It was very black and white. But now it's very different. Like you said, people want options. And one thing that you mentioned is the word patience. And I'm seeing that leaders are becoming more patient, or ought to be becoming more patient. And how that shows up is to really, you also use the term for these, you know, I think Gen Alphas or Gen Zs, they want to be seen. They want to be heard. That whole thing of go ahead and do it, that's a different version. So now, in order for us to say, hey, Nicole, what's going on? We need patience. Otherwise, right. I don't care about you and your feelings. It's about go ahead and do the damn task that I just asked you. Well, that doesn't work anymore. So that's why I love the patience. And, you know, some of my clients are doing better at the patience part, but I noticed that that's going in that direction. And you mentioned the AI of in regards to making us dumber, and you said, no, I don't think it is. And what came up for me is almost like when the libraries came out, I don't know when they really went mainstream. It's like saying, okay, all the information is there. We're going to be dumb because we don't have to think. And all the, it, you know, I don't know how accurate that analogy is, but I just came up with that one to say, yeah, the books are there. All the information's there, but we still have to kind of put it together. And I agree. I think we're giving AI, I don't know if it's too much kudos. Yeah, it's good. It gets ideas, but we still have to be creative. So I think, does it make us dumber? Probably not. It'll probably make us more creative in other ways. So going back to the leadership and that individual that you're working with, let's say within the HR or people that you, let's go back into the recruiting. What is that ideal person that has the hard skills and the soft skills, has the emotional intelligence, has the patience, has this, has that? What is the quote unquote ideal person that you'll be able to grab and put at somebody as a leader in one of the companies that you're working with?
So the ideal leader, one that's big with me is character. Okay. Right. I want to know their character. I want to know when the shit hits the fan, how are you going to handle yourself? Mm. Right. Because there's no company that I've ever worked in that doesn't have problems. If you say you're a perfect company, you're lying, you're blowing smoke. Like, I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. And never will. But there are times when things get worse. The market takes a downturn, right? the COVID happened, right? Like businesses closed by the thousands because of COVID. That was a crisis. How are you going to handle those situations? So I'm going to look at your character and I'm going to look at how you treat your employees during those times. So character is number one for me. Number two, I want to know that you have experience handling a multitude of employees, right? With different personalities, different characteristics, especially if I'm bringing you into an already established organization that I know was not led with patience, right? A very long time, and I'm bringing you in there. I'm going to make sure that you have patience to know that change doesn't happen overnight. There are things that do happen that you can change right away, but you can't come in and just completely change an entire organization in 3 weeks and expect the employees to receive it well. So how are you with your patients? Number two, I want to know what your communication's like. How do you communicate, and have you learned properly what your communication style is? So how do you deliver information, and how do you receive information? If you deliver information where you're blunt and to the point, okay, we need to establish a communication plan around that type of communication. But people need to know how to speak to you. So for me, I don't like people beating around the bush. Just tell me directly. Just tell me what's going on. I don't like surprises. Just give it to me 100%. There are people that do not receive information that way. They need, good morning, how are you? I hope you're having a great day. And you have to be able to receive and give that kind of communication.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's a great point. And sorry to cut you off, because we need to wrap up here for the segment, you know, but you, I want to touch on a little bit more on our next segment. A leader that could deal with multiple employees, multiple personalities, communication style, all those are extremely important. I think we don't put enough emphasis, but we'll dive in right after we come back on that. Don't go anywhere. This is Leadership Evolving. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and transformative leadership conversations. Stay with us. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow. Evolving tomorrow. I'm Carlos Martin, and this is Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television. Let's continue the journey. And we are back. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow.
Thank you so much, folks. We're back with Nicole Anderson. Nicole, you have so many things going on, your book, your HR company, our audience. How can they find you? How can they connect with you?
So LinkedIn, at Nicole Anderson HR. And then Instagram at Nicole Anderson 5. I will say Instagram is more tailored towards the show Underdog to Unstoppable, the anti-sex trafficking nonprofit. For business, it's going to be very much so on LinkedIn. Our website at mendhr.com. And then info@mendhr.com is our email address for any inquiries or if anybody wants to have a chat or a consultation.
All right. Fantastic. So this segment, I want to dive in into the sex trafficking part, but before we do so, we kind of ended our last segment. Maybe we could spend a couple minutes there on, we were asking you what kind of the ideal leader, and you talked about someone that could deal with multiple employees, multiple personalities, and not only that, but their communication, how they communicate to others. So tell me a little bit more on that, because that is something that I pay tons of attention as an executive coach. And again, it's something that we don't put enough value in it. So tell me more how that shows up or how that ought to show up.
Yeah. And one other characteristic that I consider in that is active listening. Hmm. I read a quote not too long ago that said, we probably should have been taught to listen before we were taught to speak.
Yeah.
Right. I think as a leader, your ability to listen, and it's easy to listen, right? But are you actually hearing what people are saying to you, what employees are saying to you? Most of the time, if an employee is coming to you with a problem, you immediately get defensive. And so you begin to form responses to the employees or to whoever your client, your customer, whatever, And so we fail at the conflict resolution piece because we don't hear what the person is trying to tell us. Usually everything can be quashed with a good, healthy conversation. And that's been my experience in HR over all these years, is that sometimes the employee just wants to be heard. You provide some solutions, you guys work together for solutions, and it's done and it's gone away. So I look for those characteristics in a leader when I'm going to put a leader in place at an organization. And I think that going forward in our future of the younger generations coming up, those characteristics are going to be vastly important to bring into organizations that are going to lead them forward with growth and scaling.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more in regards to everything. The listening in the coaching world, we call that level two listening. And in corporate, we're really good at fixing things. And that's what we're kind of bred to do. And the thing is, we want to fix before we really truly know what's going on, instead of going to discovery mode, as I call it. You know, but in my personal experience, I feel what corporations don't put enough value, because there is no ROI, you can say, on conflict resolution or defensiveness, right? Having those healthy conversations. I feel like corporations want numbers, and it's sometimes difficult to quantify or give value to that. What, as an HR person, what is your communication to these, maybe the C-suite or owners of these companies, and how it's otherwise?
Well, I really press conflict resolution. It's an easy course, right? It's an easy class. We teach it for, I think it's a 2-hour class. And it goes into everything that you need to stop conflict from growing. So the problem is you may not think that it's important right now, and you may, okay, we're putting it over here, we're putting it to the side, but then all of a sudden it's now festered into this really big deal. Now you want to fire this person. Now you want all of these things to happen because it was a simple conversation. And there are times in conflict that you're not going to be able to give the person what they want. That's okay. Like, that's fine. You just have to communicate that. I get all the time, if somebody files a complaint, they're like, I want, and I'm like, what would you like to see as the outcome? They're like, I want the person fired. And I'm like, it's like, this is not a fireable offense at this time. And they're probably not going to get fired. So I'm going to manage that expectation up front, but let them know, like, we're going to work really hard to resolve the conflict, you know, as soon as possible. But it's you can't let it fester. So I always tell my clients, let's do conflict. Let's teach our leaders active conflict resolution so that they can deal with it at the leadership level. And then it doesn't grow into this big issue. And now you're being sued for something that wasn't necessary to be sued for, but it was just either ignorance or lack of ability to handle.
Yeah, I love that. It's like almost the proactive instead of reactive. It reminds me of Eastern medicine versus Western medicine. And the Western medicine, we want to eat everything, Big Mac, everything. And then all of a sudden we get sick, we go to the doctor, okay, take this pill. Yes. Eastern medicine, it's a lot more preventative, right? So it's almost like the preventative side is know how to deal with the conflicts. Otherwise, you're going to have to deal with that conflict and it's going to be so much, so much worse. So thank you for that. Now I want to do a complete pivot here to the sex trafficking part that you are part of. Tell us what that is and what does that look like? Because I have to be, you know, honest here. I know that's going on, but I could say that I don't have a really good temperature check of what the reality of sex trafficking is out there.
So just this year, in the first 5 months of 2026, the National Institute of Anti-Sex Trafficking just released some interim data that they've rescued 6,600 people in the United States that were victims of sex trafficking. This number is an increase. It's a large increase from prior years. With the mobility of globalization and the transportation industry and things like that, sex trafficking continues to grow. And We actually started, I'm a victim of sexual abuse as a child for 4 years. Came out, my abuser went to prison for some other situations and things like that. And, you know, fast forward to, I always knew I was going to do something in the anti space, so that I could provide assistance and help and growth. That's always been my purpose and my impact and why I do so much to be able to, give back as much as I have been blessed with. So we started out as just a women's conference and providing funds to victims of sexual abuse to growing into anti-sex trafficking space. We are pivoting soon, in a different direction, but we partner with some other nonprofits in the anti-sex trafficking space. And the majority of individuals, it's reported 89% of the victims of sex trafficking are young girls and women, mostly between the ages of 8 and 13. And it's not your old fashioned, I'm going to pick you up on the side of the road with puppies and, you know, lure you in with ice cream and things like that. It's online. These girls are getting hit up to become influencers, to become this and all of that. And they meet up for photo shoots and stuff, and then they're not found again. In 2023, Florida had over 8,900 cases of missing girls. They believe that 75% of those young girls were trafficked into sex trafficking. And so while the government is trying to make strides, they keep falling very short in this aspect. And there's a lot of high-level individuals that are involved. And so it makes the prevention and the ability to rescue these individuals very difficult.
Wow. This is some heavy stuff. First of all, I'm sorry you went through that. The sexual abuse at such a young age or at any age is horrible. And thank you for giving us those numbers. I had no idea. That's what I said when I said, like, I don't think I have a really good temperature check, and I don't think we as society have a good temperature check. And sometimes I think of sex trafficking. I think of third world countries, not us. And it sounds like it's happening here. And you mentioned the word influencers, and you know, we go back in time when we're 13, we're pretty gullible, right? And 100%. To be, you know, have these folks to take advantage of that. So what can we do as a society? What can we do to prevent it? What can we do to improve it? Do we need to talk about it more, to, you know, no more out of sight, out of mind? What do you think the number one thing? Well, not the number one thing is, you're saying it's an uphill battle because there's some powerful people behind it, you know, but us as the Joe Schmoes, what can we do to prevent, to help, to bring more awareness to this?
So the biggest piece is education, right? Is educating your children and paying attention to what they're doing online, and monitoring. A lot of times it's just easier with so many distractions. Usually the children that are most affected are individuals with broken households, right? Like mom, dad, they live in separate households, and financial strain, right? Parents are so focused, especially with how the economy is right now, with being able to just put gas in the car to go to work, that they forget that, hey, my child's online. My child's able, people have access to my child, and not looking at those things. And, you know, teaching young girls, like, don't answer these messages about influencers. If you're interested about modeling or something, come to me so that we can explore this together and see if it's something that you can do.
Okay. Wow. That is, again, I can't even fathom this. This is horrible. And thank you. We'll try to put something on the link out there for people to see. And what is, really quick, because we're going to wrap up our session here, What is something, a website or something they could go in to have a better temperature check on this?
Loveinspiringlife.org.
Okay, fantastic. Nicole, thank you so much. Again, folks, if you're listening, please pay attention to this. This is real. We'll be right back with Leadership Evolving.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and transformative leadership conversations. Stay with us. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow. I'm Carlos Martin, and this is Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television. Let's continue the journey. And we are back. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow.
Okay, Nicole, you currently have a book that I believe it's HR Sexy, which I love the name. And now you're coming up with a new book. Is it out? Is it about to come out? What is it all about? I believe it's called Shape of What Survived. Tell us more.
Yeah, so the book will be released in the fall. We're looking at an early October release date. We haven't gotten the full release date from the publisher yet, but we do know that it's early fall. There will be a book tour and book signing tour that's going to go along with the release. So this book has been quite a long time in the making. It was a hard book to write. It was a hard book to go through. We called it The Shape of What Survived. It plays on, you know, a couple different things of being able to survive, like survive some of the most unimaginable things that somebody could go through to be able to come to a different place in life and be able to grow and excel and become successful. It's basically telling a lot of my life story. Goes hand in hand with the show Underdog to Unstoppable. I was, and by all intents and purposes, it was considered an underdog, right? Like I had kind of my story written out for me, early on, and I chose not to live in that story. Mm-hmm. And, as I mentioned in the prior segment, I'm a survivor of abuse. And you know, my hometown was a very small town, and a lot of the people, you know, they basically wrote my story. She's going to be pregnant. She's going to be a drug addict. She's going to be all these things. And I think I lived the most of my life trying to prove those people wrong. And in doing so, self-sabotage, right? You work through those things. But when I realized that most of the people that had made those comments are no longer alive.
Oh, wow.
Right? Like they were older women at the time, and it was 20 years past. Who was I proving anything to except for myself? Mm-hmm. Right? And so I stopped living in that space and started living in the space of gratitude and blessings, and living in the space that I'm going to be successful no matter what, because I put my head down and I work hard for it. It wasn't because anybody did something to me or didn't do something to me. So I wrote the book to help individuals who are going through or have gone through something similar. To give them hope, right? To give them hope that you don't have to stay or be defined by the story that somebody else wrote for you, that somebody else gave to you. My favorite Bible verse is Romans 8:28, which is all good things work together for the good of those who believe in the Lord. And yes, bad things happened, but it was turned around for good. And it was turned around to be able to help other people survive or even bring awareness, you know, to ask questions, to watch your children a little closer, to, you know, end those cycles of abuse and behavior that happens in families. Yeah. So for me, this is an empowering story. It's not all sad, right? Like it's not sad anymore. The only sad part is my mom's not here, you know, to be able to celebrate this with us, the release of this. But what I'm grateful about is that even if one person is saved by hearing my story and coming out of a dark place that they're in, everything was worth it.
Wow. I want to buy this book already. all of you folks, even if you're not touched by this, not necessarily touched by the emotions of restored, but I'm talking about affected. There's got to be somebody out there that could benefit from this book. And you mentioned the word hope, and I would assume that folks like yourself and others, like, hope may not be there because, like you said, it's the story has quote unquote been written for them already. And I love the fact that you said, no, there's a different way. And then you also talk about the self-sabotage. There's so much here.
Right? Yeah.
First the abuse, the process, and then proving to somebody else. And then you're like, wait, who am I proving this? Like, there's a lot there. And I think, can this book also be for the people that are being abused, were abused, and the parents? Does this kind of encompass the whole thing?
Oh yeah. It's for all audiences. I would challenge men to read it, right? To understand, because women are the most affected by sexual abuse. Not that it does not happen to men. It is a very high statistic of men. We just don't hear about it, right? Like men don't speak on it. There's a stigma around it, which I'm hoping with this book, it takes that stigma away from men. Because the more we talk about it, the more we bring it out and we pull out these individuals that are monsters and predators, we can start healing a lot of stuff in our society. So it's for men as well. Like I want men to read this. I also want men who have a partner who has been abused and don't really know like how to handle it to read through it. Because I do talk in my book about my past relationships and the partners that I've had and how each of them provided a bit of healing to each step of my journey. And I think that that's important to understand that you can be a positive healing for somebody that's been through it by just little things. And so I think for men, women, some areas in there might not be for children, just because of, you know, the detail that's in the book. So I would leave it up to the parents to make that decision.
Okay. I you mentioned the stigma for men and maybe excuse the ignorance. What is that stigma when it comes to saying the stigma for men around this? What is that?
So sexual abuse for men sometimes appears in different ways. So men obviously have their natural body and how things happen for them. And it can almost appear as though they're enjoying it when they're really not, that it's something that's abusing them and they're not enjoying, but they really don't have a choice because of body chemistry. Number two, the stigma that they're gay, right? That they're a gay person now that they've been abused, because most abusers are men. Mm. However, we are seeing in society at this point, we are seeing a lot of women that are now being arrested for abuse on young boys. It's been all over the news for months now, more women being charged and convicted, and it's fabulous. I'm happy to see that they're being convicted and they're spending the rest of their lives in prison. But also the thing about boys is I remember when I was growing up and the boys would have a crush on a teacher. And it was like, cool, right? Like, oh, that teacher's hot. That teacher's this, that teacher.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it was just like a huge thing. For a young boy to come out and say to his friends, hey, like this teacher's been messing with me. This teacher's been sexually harassing me or abusing me. He's not going to be cool. Right. And most of the cases where these are found, the parents find them. Or somebody else tells the parents or the school that something is going on. It's not typically the boy that brings it up. And it's not because he's not hurt or shamed or anything like that. It is solely because of what he feels the repercussions are going to be with his friends. And, you know, we haven't normalized the mental health aspect for men. And it makes it a lot difficult for them to come forward.
Yeah. Wow. So much here, Nicole. Thank you so much for your story. And it's, you know, you bring hope through your book, through your personal story. And I love that you've gone through the process and there's power, right? As unfortunate as it was, you got that abuse, but now you said, okay, you took it a different direction because you could have gone the other direction, right? Darkness, jail, pregnancy, whatever that might be, instead of like, no, I'm going to move forward and ready to go. So Nicole, thank you so much for what you do, the impact that you're making, and kudos to you for having your entrepreneurial side to you and really just kicking major ass out there. Thank you for being on this show. I really, truly appreciate it. And to everyone else, go ahead and grab her book when it comes out, Leadership Evolving. I'm your host, Carlos Martin, and this was Nicole Anderson. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.